are continuing our series called Jesus, and this morning I titled this The Builder. And so we're going to be talking about Jesus the Builder. How many of you, now pop quiz, are you ready? I love pop quizzes, I know you do too. What are some of the titles of some of the subjects that we have talked about in Jesus, in the Jesus series? We've talked about Jesus the Teacher, Jesus the Prophet, Jesus the Son. The Christ, yep, we've talked about that, the priest and the king. I'm trying to remember which one that was under. The Christ, yep, and anyone else? The physician, thank you so much. And so we've talked about the attributes of Christ and who he is, and this morning we're going to focus on the builder. Would you turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Now, Jesus is the builder, and that's some good news. Because we have things in our life that we need to build upon. There's some dilapidated buildings. Dilapidated, that's not the right word. Help me here. Dilapidated. You know, sometimes this is beautiful. Sometimes I pronounce things and I think I got it right because that's the way we always said it growing up. And it's not until I got married that I found out that we didn't know what we were talking about. there are quite a few words that I say the same. I'm trying to remember. I used to confuse. I've gotten much better since I've lived here for as many years as I have been. It used to be oil and not oil. Yeah, what? Oil was oil. And then this was beautiful. We used to boil corn, and we put the boiled corn in a bowl, ate it out of the bowl. Right? Bold and bold was all the same. Back home, we could hear the difference, but here you can't. Hail fell from the sky. Ice, little balls of ice. What do y'all call it?
Hail.
Whatever it is. But I have grown and have been educated and doing so much better today than I did when I first got here. How many of you have found Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8? All right. Jesus is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you something. If you get this scripture down on the inside of you in your heart, you'll know more than most theologians. Because most theologians will say the work of Jesus has died and passed away. It doesn't even operate anymore. But the Bible tells us Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. You know, I had a conversation with somebody not too terribly long ago that were telling me certain things died away in the body of Christ that Jesus did or was operating in. And I said, well, how terrible is that? And they said, what? I said, how terrible is that? That Jesus would do something, because they said it was for the early church. And once the early church got established, the church didn't need it anymore, and it all passed away. I said, well, if that's the case, Jesus is a jerk, and I don't believe he's a jerk. Now, I know y'all wouldn't take me wrong, but they took me wrong. And they were like, how dare you call Jesus a jerk? I said, I'm not calling Jesus a jerk. You're calling Jesus a jerk. Because you're saying that he gave us a gift in the beginning and then took it away from us. How terrible is that? And they said, well, we have gotten better now. We don't need it as much as we did. I said, you tell me there's a bunch of unbelievers out there in the world? There's a bunch of unbelievers and they don't need the gifts as much as we did in the early church. We need it more. Why? Because there's more unbelievers on the earth today than the day Jesus died and rose again. There's more people. There's more people who have never heard of the name of Jesus. And why would God give something to the early church and say, okay, you've got established. You're doing great now. Now let's take it back. Doesn't make too much sense. I'm glad. I'm going to take your quietness as you're thinking awfully hard about what I just said. But Jesus is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in Mark chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. We're not going to go there. But in verse 3, it calls Jesus a carpenter. The people call Jesus a carpenter. Or in Matthew, it says the son of a carpenter. And so carpentry ran in Jesus' field. Now, there is a debate among theologians whether Jesus ever was a carpenter or if he was not a carpenter. That if he ever grew up doing that. But I will tell you, if your daddy's doing something, a lot of times you're doing it too. I remember my dad was a pretty good mechanic. Now, he said once they put computer chips in cars, he's done. But if it's got a carburetor, he can work on it. And so I remember on Sundays, we would change our own, or Saturdays, we would change our own oil, and we would slide up underneath the car, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I'd go lay down right beside him and watch him. And before it was over, he taught me how to do it, and I was changing the oil in the car. And so that Saturdays was the day to change all the vehicle's oils. And so my job was to get underneath him at 12 years old and change the oil. Now, in the beginning, he would be with me and watch what I did, make sure I was doing good, crank it up, get back underneath, make sure it wasn't leaking. And he would watch me and go over it. But then there came a point at 12 years old that he would just say, go change the oil. And he wasn't there anymore. My whole point in all this, he also loved big, heavy machines, right? And so tractors and excavators and all this stuff. And he worked for the county and had that ability to do these things. And so he would put me on them. Oh, I'm not as good as he is, but man, do I love riding in them. They're a lot of fun. And so I would get in there and play around and, you know, dig a hole, put everything back in the hole, and dig the hole again just for the fun of it. It was a blast to me. But my dad, now, whether or not, I was never a mechanic, still not a mechanic. And I'll tell you, if you said the name of some of the tools, I'd know what they are, but I wouldn't know what they are until you said it out loud. So that tells you what kind of mechanic I am, just enough to be dangerous, not enough to know how to do everything I need to do. But the reason that's even there is because my daddy did it. Because I was familiar because my daddy did it. And because he did it, I was learning the trait whether I ever stepped into it or didn't. And I believe whether Jesus was a carpenter or whether he wasn't a carpenter, I believe he knew how to be a carpenter. Now, when we talk about carpentry in the United States, what do we mainly think about? Wood. Absolutely. We mainly think about houses, woods, framing, and all this kind of stuff. But in Jesus' day, homes were a little bit different. Homes were a little bit different. They also had wood floors, not wood floors, they had dirt floors. No wood floors, they were dirt floors. Can you imagine how dirty your socks get today? Or if you have kids, how dirty just walking around the house your socks get. Some of you are like, oh, what? Dirty? No, our house is immaculate. Whatever. All right, whatever. Could you imagine how much dirtier your kids' clothes would be, your feet would be, your furniture would be, how much you would have to dust just walking through the house. Be like, stop walking so fast. Don't run in the house. You're stirring the dust up. Okay, just I'm the only one that thinks that way. So the word here for carpenter is the word tectone, which means carpenter, joiner, builder. So I believe a better definition would be builder, because they worked with stone, they worked with wood, and they worked with metals. Now, in Jesus' day, not all of them worked with metals, because that was kind of a new, you know, trend and technology, but they do believe that it was very common during Jesus' day to work with certain types of metals. Now, to say all that, I want to say that Jesus is the builder. He does have a blueprint for your life. He had a blueprint before you were ever born, before the world was ever created. The Bible says he knew you before he formed the world, before he formed this universe. He knew who you were. That's kind of powerful. You know, I remember the day we found out we were having a kid. I remember that day. We actually just got back from Canada for our first one. We were preaching in Nova Scotia, somewhere up in there. And Jessie was getting just a little motion sickness, which was weird because she really didn't deal. And we're driving and she says, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just feel, you know, like just sick. Going around all these curves, I feel sick. I'm like, all right. And then in the plane, she's like, oh, I don't know what's going on with me. I feel motion sickness. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And so we get home and we're sitting and we're watching TV and I'm just thinking and we're having, and she just all of a sudden says, Tim, something just crossed my mind. I could possibly be pregnant. And I'm like, wait, what? What? And, you know, on the inside, I'm doing cartwheels, right? I am doing cartwheels. But I don't want to freak out, you know, because I'm pretty good at it. I can get overexcited very quickly. You know, there should be a warning sign. You know, at the zoo, it says, don't feed the animals. It should be like, don't get him too excited. Because I will react to the excitement. I will, you know, just, wow, And so I'm here, I'm on the inside talking to myself, breathe, everything's good, because we talked about having kids. We were, you know, just getting ready to have children. And so I'm like, okay, all right. And I just said, hey, you know, I'll stop by Walgreens, you know, whatever, and pick up some pregnancy tests, and, you know, tomorrow, we'll see. And I think I probably sat there for 15 minutes dying on the inside. I'm like, you know what? Be like, I'm in the mood for some, like, gummy bears. We got gummy bears. I knew we didn't have no gummy bears. And she goes, no. I'm like, I think I'm going to go to Walgreens right now and get some gummy bears. Because I played it off really cool, right? Really smooth. And so I go and get the test. She takes the test, and we are having a baby. I say we. She's doing all the work. But I get to be there and participate. I get a participation trophy. And so I was so excited, and the baby was already starting to form, but I didn't know anything, you know. I can't even imagine Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, knowing before the world was ever created. I can only imagine that Jesus was excited as I was. Be like, hey, God, like, I'm going to go get some gummy bears. Let's see when this thing is going to get going. So I know that God was excited, because not only do we know he was excited, but when he came to the earth, it says that he went to the cross because of the joy that was set before him. The joy was your salvation. You stepping into the family of God as you were meant to be from the beginning, before the foundation of the earth. So that same joy caused him to go to the cross to endure great pain. Hello, come on, parents. Great pain, because it was for the benefit of his children. Hello? And so for us, I know that God was joyful. I know that God was excited about us coming into existence. But he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so when we look at this, when we see Jesus operating in something in the Bible, we can say, that's Jesus, that's my Savior, that's my Lord, and that is for me. And so when we look at Jesus operating, he says, I have only done this because I see my Father in heaven do this. And so if we see Jesus operating in something, we can claim it for ourselves. And when you read something in the Bible, whether it's healing, whether it's prophecy, whether it's good news, whether he's talking about a principle, whenever we see him talk, we can say, that's my Savior, that's for me. Oh, when I see Jesus talking about something, how about the parable of the sower? He shall give, you know, as you sow, it will be given. Some 30, 60, and 100-fold. I look and say, that's my Savior, that's for me. I plant the word, and the word works. It brings forth a harvest. Oh, I feel like I'm about to come unglued in this place. Happy Mother's Day. Now, yesterday is going to be my first point. Yesterday. God is the God of yesterday. God is the God of the past. Aren't you thankful? Look at your past right now. Take a mental picture of some of your past. You better be thankful that's in the hands of Jesus. You better be thankful that's in the hands of God. Whether it was something of your own life that you did and caused, or whether it was the way you were treated, maybe it was the diagnosis in your life. Maybe you were told, like me, you would never amount to anything, that you would never get over a disability, that it would control you forever, that it would dictate your life from here on out. The good news is God is the God of the past. So I can give that diagnosis. I can give that treatment. I can give every name that was ever said about me, everything that was ever done to me. Not that it doesn't still bother me, not that it doesn't still hurt, but that I give it to the Lord, and God can take it, package it, and cause it to bring a blessing that only he can do. Oh my goodness. Oh, see, I see some of y'all lived a great life. You never had any trouble, and you're like, that's good for all you people. But I lived a life where God, if he wasn't involved, I would be broke, busted, and disgusted all my life. I would have never made it. I would have never been here today. I would have been living off the government in housing and had to be watched because of the diagnosis that was over me. And can I tell you, when it was found, it was in operation. And it took a good mama, a good daddy, who stood on the word of God and said, we will not have that for our son. Because the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Imagine if they would have told me, son, that was done away with. That died with Jesus. It was for the early church, but not anymore. So this is your cross to bear. Get on it, hold it, own it, and just go through life. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Jesus is the Lord of your past. Now, if you didn't live a good life, maybe you were brought up that you did certain things, you lived a certain way. Maybe that was last night. Maybe you've decided to give your life to Jesus this morning, and we'll give you that opportunity. It could have been as early as last night, 10 minutes ago. It could have been as early as just a few minutes ago. But when you give that to Jesus, you might look at your life and say, everything has been wrong. Every problem, all my life, it has been bad. It has been one trial after another trial after another trial. Can I tell you something? Jesus can take all of what happened yesterday and cause it to turn in something good for today. Ooh, man, I wish I could moonwalk. Right now would be a good time. I can't. I've tried. I fail every time. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's a building term. He framed this world. Jesus is the builder. Do you know we're at such a perfect location? The world is at such a location that it causes life to be established on this planet. And they tell us that if we were so many degrees one way or so many degrees above a different way, that we would burn or freeze. And I'm going to tell you, God knew that from the beginning. And he placed us in the right place. He framed this earth and put it in the right place so that life could thrive on this earth. Psalms 139:15. Now, if you can't turn there as quickly, you can write them all down and look at them later. I believe you should take notes. It's good to take notes. It helps it put it on the inside of you. But my substance, now, the Amplified in the NIV and many other translations doesn't use the word substance. It actually uses the word frame. And so my substance or my frame was not hidden from thee, and I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Not only is God the God who framed the earth and the universe, he's also the God who framed your body and put it together. He is the God who created the human body. Form. He is the builder. Look at your neighbor and say, he's the builder. Now, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts. Now, the NIV and the Amplified and many other translations says plans. But the King James says thoughts. So we can say, I know the thoughts are the plans that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has a plan for your life. Now, we live in a fallen world where the enemy has a plan for our life as well. And there are things that have happened in our life that were not God. Some of it was absolutely our fault. We sowed the seeds and we reaped the harvest. Some of it was not our fault at all. It was the fact that we live in a fallen world and there is the evil one, the defeated one, and he's on this earth trying to mess up our lives. So that's a possibility too. But God can take the plan. He can look at the building. He can look at the plan of your life. He can look at the past of your life and he can see everything that's tore down and he knows how to fix it. He knows how to put he's like, you know what, this wall needs to come down, but the rest of it's stable. The rest of it's good. And maybe you were raised like I was in a denomination, and there were a lot of teachings in your life that were not godly. You had some good godly foundation, but yet then there were man's tradition, built upon man's tradition in your life. And God said, we need to tear this wall down. We need to get rid of this thought process, but the rest of the foundation is good. So we're going to come in here. This is the plan. We tear this wall down. We break this down, and we begin to build back up on a firm foundation. So God can take things in your life. He can look at the past and say, this wasn't good, but we can build. We can do it. My mind immediately went to Bob the Builder. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. I can see us going to God. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. we can fix this. Are the $1 million man. We have the finances. We have the ability. We have the tools. We have the technology. We can build them, make them better. God is the builder, and he does have a plan for your life. Now, the good news is that even though the enemy has a plan, and maybe we followed it for a while, God can take that problem, take that mess that we were in, and cause it to work for the good. Now, let's look at this really quickly here. Genesis, I want you to turn to this one. Genesis 50 and 20. 50 and 20. It says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." I want to read the same verse out of God's Word translation. It says, "Even though you planned evil against me, God planned good to come out of it." God can see an evil plan. And maybe we had a part to play in it, maybe we didn't. But God can look at that plan that was in our life, that manifested in our life, and we may look at it and say, "How can anything good come of this? How can anything good come of this problem?" God looks at it and he sees it in a different manner. He sees it with a builder's eye. He sees it with someone who created your frame, created this earth, created this universe, knows how everything works. He looks at the same problem that you can't see anything good at, and he says, "I have a plan that out of this destruction will come life. Out of this test will come a testimony. Out of this mess, I will form them to launch into the call, launch into the vision, launch into the destiny that I had for them." Now, it wasn't God who caused the problem. It wasn't even his will for you to go through the problem. But every problem you go through, he has a way out. He has a path built for you so that you may bear right where you are. Oh, my goodness. The word "meant" here, I like this. "But God meant it good." That word "meant" is the word kashav. Or kashav. Kashav. Or kashav. I think I had it right better the first time. But you know, you can check me out on that one. And I will remind you, it's a southerner pronouncing Greek. Oh, excuse me. We're in the Old Testament. Hebrew. I need to put some more in there. It's Hebrew. It means invent. It means to make judgment. So I like this. Why is that important? Because what meant for evil, God will look at it and make it a judgment. This was meant for evil. And then God will invent a way for it to make good. Because in the natural, there may be no way good can come out of it. We look at it and there's no way. God says, not only do I judge it to be evil, if I have to make a way that has never happened in all of humanity, in all of the world, from the time that the earth was created to now, if there has never been an outcome positive out in the same situation you're in, God will invent a positive outcome for you. If he has to create something that has never happened, he will judge the situation. I judge it to be evil. I judge it to be bad. And now I will invent a way for it to be good for them. I'm so thankful for that. God will look at our past. He will look at where we are. And he will invent a way to make it good. I've asked the sound booth to have a video ready for me. If I can have an usher hit our lights real quick. Thank you, Juan. I appreciate that. And I just wanted to, I wanted you to see this very spiritual clip that I found, and I want y'all to see it. Y'all go ahead for me.
Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah! You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No, not a stick!
Hey! Where are you going?
I'm going back!
What? Come on! Get out of here!
I hope y'all got something out of that. Now, first of all, let me say this. As Christians, we see God everywhere. We see him in movies. We see him everywhere we go. God, there is a sign. Why? Because God is in everything. Now, anyone who wrote this, I don't know if they were godly Christian, put any kind of spiritual background into anything. But in this, the lion, hello? Simba. But I'm talking the lion. Jesus is the lion, the tribe of Judah, right? And so the lion, learning, it hurts, the past hurts. So what's the first thing he did? He took the stick. I'm going to take your stick. So the lion took the stick, took the ability to cause the pain. And so Jesus took the enemy's ability to cause us pain away from him. Hello. And so we need to be, our past may hurt sometimes, absolutely. It can hurt. But the key is that we keep going forward because we have the Lion of Judah with us that is King and God of the past. Now, I'm hoping I get no letters about Disney being evil or any other cartoon or networks. That's one of the reasons I normally never show clips like that. But I could have helped it. I just didn't want to. Now, so Jesus is Lord of the past. He's the Lord of yesterday, and he is the God of today. That's my second point. Jesus is the builder of today. I'm going to go to Luke 19. Then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 11. But Luke 19, in verse 9, and Jesus said unto them, this day is salvation come to this house. Corinthians 6. Y'all go to Deuteronomy 11. Second Corinthians 6 and 2. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 2. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children. Now, let me just tell you what God is saying here. I'm talking about today. You're going to have kids. You're going to have a future. But today I'm speaking to you. And the promise, the things that I'm going to do for you today will affect your tomorrow. It affects your future. Your kids are going to get benefit out of this, what I'm doing with you today. But I ain't talking to you right now about your kids. And I ain't talking to you right now about your future. I'm talking to you right now, today, what we're going to do, what we're going to establish. And look at me with verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you, what? This day. Look at verse 26. And behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Look at verse 32. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. God is a God of today. He can give you a word today, and the consequences, or my father would say, the reward. My daddy said, everything you have is a reward of what you've done. He would tell me, now we got spankings. I know y'all don't do that because you warp your child's personality. But I'm going to tell you, some children, their personality needs to be warped, and they wouldn't be in prison today if we molded their personalities. And so my personality, my father had to mold a couple times, a lot more than I wish to admit. But he would tell me, he would tell me, what you just got was a reward. I'm like, a reward? He says, it was a reward for what you did. Everything you get is a reward. Everything you get in life is a reward. Something you call it punishment, but it's a reward for you not obeying. That's a reward for you not obeying. And there's also a reward for you obeying. Everything you get from me is a reward, son. What are you going to receive today? So my daddy wouldn't say consequences. He would say reward. And so God has set up the ability to choose our own reward. Whether it be cursing or blessing, it's up to us. And now many people will look at the scripture and say, God is bringing a curse to me if I go this route. No, God is saying, warning, danger, Will Robinson, danger. Ah. I was hoping I had some fans in here. Lost in Space. Yep. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Okay, so none of y'all watch that show. And they have a new one out. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited about it. Yes, they have a new one. We'll talk about it later. Come to me afterwards. Well, no. It's okay. I was excited, too, when I heard about it. But we'll talk about it later. I'll tell you where it's going to be and what time. So anyway, in all of this, God is saying, hey, there's danger. There's a curse on this earth. If you go this way, it's cursed. But I got good news for you. If you come over here and do the plans that I have told you to, if you walk this route, I will pour blessing upon you, your house, your whole family. But today you choose this way. Today blessings will be yours, and it will be a consequence or a reward for you and your children's children, even though I ain't talking about them right now. I'm talking about today. So God has a blessing for us today. Now, God is the God of what? Yesterday. God is a God of what? Today. And then my last point is God is a God forever. Now, you may have noticed that I took our beginning scripture, Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus is the same. What? Yesterday. Today. And forever. I just took his 3 points. Yeah, his 3 points. So God is the God of forever. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I will say also unto you that thou art Peter. Now Peter had an epiphany. Peter had an idea come to him. First of all, it was not Peter's idea. This was given to him by revelation of the Holy Spirit. This was given to him by God. What was that revelation? That Jesus is the Son of God. That he is the Christ, the anointed one. Everything that the Old Testament pointed to and said, this is your salvation. Peter recognized by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is that Savior. And so Jesus tells him, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, upon this firm foundation, upon this teaching, upon this knowledge that you have, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 1 Peter 2 and 5, write this down. Ye also, so as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house. God says you are living stones. God is, yes, the God of yesterday. Yes, he is the God of today. But he is also the God of the future. And he has not stopped building his church. He is building you up. Can I tell you something? You may look at your past and say, how can God be the God of my future when I've had the past that I have had? God can be the God of your future because he is still the builder. He is still the one with ideas. He is still the one that looks at the brokenhearted, and he said in his word, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. You are a stone God can put together, and you may feel like you're in shambles, and yes, if you have tried to put a brick back together, it can be done. It doesn't look pretty when you do it, but it can be done. But God is a greater builder than we ever have been, and anyone ever has been on this earth. Now, my great-great-grandmother had a vase. Now, thankfully, wasn't me. I know all your mind went to, it was me. It was not me. It was my sister. She hit it, and it fell, and it shattered. Now, as kids do, let's sweep that away, and just hopefully no one will notice. But it was the first thing that mama noticed. And they got all the pieces. And they took it, every piece, and they took it to a specialist. That specialist put that vase back together, and you couldn't even tell except for one chip we could not find on the bottom, underneath. But the rest of the vase, you look at it today, it looks perfect. I still don't know how in the world this person put that together. But as good as that person was, my God is better. And so your heart, you may look at it and say, how in the world can this heart ever be put back together? How can my life that is in shambles, that are in so many pieces, ever be put back together? Because you have and you serve the God that is the builder. And that even if a piece went missing, even if it was broken and you can't even find all the pieces, he is the creator of the pieces. He can have the peace that you need on the inside to make you whole and continue to build his church. And even though you've been defeated, broke, busted, and disgusted, now is the day. The day has turned for you, and you are blessed like you have never been blessed before. And God has restored and is building, and the gates of hell that have prevailed in the past, today is the day that they get served notice. You will not prevail. God is the builder. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are the God of yesterday. You are the God of today. And you are the God that is forever. And we thank you that you take our life. You take everything that we've experienced. And if it was bad, you look, you judge it to be bad. And you invent a way for it to become a blessing in our life. I thank you, Father, that our past will not look like our future. And our future will not look like our past. For you are the God that takes us from glory to glory. So we thank you, Father, in advance that our life is mended. And some of us, we may be saying that in faith right now. God, we thank you that if you're involved, we trust you. We serve you. And you are the one, the builder, that is mending and putting back together. That we look back at our lives and we didn't even know what was broken. Our past almost seems like, did that even really happen? Because you have taken us to a new place. You have taken us to levels of greater glory. So right where you are in this place, I want everybody, while we're just speaking to the Lord, I want you to ask, Father, what in my area, in my life, the areas of my life, do I need to build? What are you speaking to my heart, Father? Right where I am, what are you speaking to me? What did this message mean to my life? Let's ask that question right where you are. Father, we thank you. What are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to the hearts of your people? We thank you. Father, we thank you. I believe many of you have gotten answers right now. I believe God has spoken to many of your hearts right where you are. Some of us, I believe he'll continue to speak to us throughout the week, that we'll get the answer throughout this week. God, to just be involved in our lives. Father, we thank you that you're not done. You're not the builder of yesterday, but you are the builder of today, and you have a plan that we are moving toward. In the